Order, order.
I've got to say, the House has totally destroyed my reputation on getting through question time efficiently. I think today is the longest question time in my time as Speaker.
It took about an hour and a half, more than a third of it devoted to Labor's use of question time to exploit ructions in the ACT Party following the replacement of Heather Roy by John Boscawen as their deputy leader. Labor's Pete Hodgson based his questions on a document containing allegations that Mrs. Roy made against her leader, Rodney Hyde, which he denied in a series of personal explanations.
I have never, ever given a cabinet document to a person that should not have it. I can emphatically say, Mr. Speaker, that I have never approached any minister with concerns about drug use by Heather Roy, as alleged by that member opposite, and I think it's appalling that he would say
order,
such a thing.
That is none of order. Order.
Getting nowhere with their questions, Labor's Trevor Mallard tried a different tack.
Mr. Speaker, I seek leave to table the document of Heather Roy's which makes allegations about Rodney Hyde.
Order, order. Leave is sought to table that document. Is there any objection? There is no objection.
The Speaker called for more questions, but instead got a complaint from Labor's David Parker.
Point of order, the Honourable David Parker.
I take offence, sir, at the comment by Sandra Gowdy accusing the opposition of being sewer rats, to which I responded by my interjection.
Order, this childish matter will not be taken any further.
But that didn't suit Labor's Clayton Cosgrove.
With respect, sir, a member has taken offence, and I suspect what you and every other member of this House would deem to be an extremely unparliamentary comment. He has taken offence. A number of us, sir, take offence at it.
Order, the member will deal with his point of order or he will sit down.
Well, I'll deal with that as well, sir. He compounded it by saying
order,
it's true.
Order, the member will resume his seat. This childish behaviour will stop immediately. Immediately. We are adults in this place and I ask members not to behave like children. If Sandra Gowdy offended the opposition, I invite her to withdraw and apologise for whatever she said.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker. I absolutely and categorically said nothing of the sort.
And that, order, this is where that matter will lie. The member will resume his seat immediately. This is such childish behaviour. It is an insult to this House and demeaning of the dignity of this House.
And later, ACT's new deputy leader had the chance to answer his first question as Minister of Consumer Affairs. It was from Labor's Charles Chauvel.
Does the Minister stand by his statement that, quote, the emissions trading scheme is already set to impose a significant cost burden on New Zealand households, a burden that may become crippling if opportunistic companies take advantage of the situation to inflate their profit margins? If so, will one of his priorities as Minister of Consumer Affairs be protecting consumers from opportunistic ETS pricing? If not, why not?
The Honourable John Boscawen.
Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Consumer Affairs has never made that statement.
Now a break from bad behaviour in the chamber to look at binge drinking in the committee rooms with Rhys Lyon.
The Justice and Electoral Committee looked at a bill addressing alcohol laws. Just one submission, it was from University of Connecticut professor Tom Babor. He used American examples in support of raising the drinking age.
When the drinking age was reduced from 21 in some states down to 18 in the 1970s, there was an increase in all kinds of problems, particularly traffic fatalities. Now, when it was changed back, the reverse occurred. And state by state, we could see the trends of reducing late-night traffic fatalities in addition to reductions in other problems as well.
Committee Chairman National's Chester Burrows asked Professor Barbour if it was possible to change a country's drinking culture.
Cultures have changed dramatically historically. From in the Nordic countries, in Denmark, for example, after the First World War, they imposed a very high tax on aquavit, the distilled beverage, which was associated with very high cirrhosis rates and all kinds of suicide problems. And within a few years, Denmark dramatically reduced their per capita consumption. Suicide rates went down and cirrhosis rates went down, and they switched to a beer-drinking culture.
Professor Barber also pointed to other causes of binge drinking.
It's a combination of increased leisure time, greater affluence, more disposable income, and attitudes, which some of which are actively taught through social modeling and social learning by the advertising industry and the alcohol industry itself in the way that they promote their beverages. So I think we can do better in returning society to a more appropriate relationship with alcohol, which is what restrictions are doing.
Professor Tom Barbour of the University of Connecticut making a submission on the Sale and Supply of Liquor and Liquor Enforcement Bill to the Justice and Electoral Committee.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.